2 minute warning. It's like a poker game where everybody shows their hand and you go.
Squeak, so she.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to the regular meeting, the Village of CarMax. It's Tuesday, February 17th, 2026. We respectfully acknowledge we are meeting today on the traditional territory of Little Sam and CarMax First Nation. It is 7 o'clock. I'll call the meeting to order. Motion to adopt the agenda.
There's one amendment.
Oh,
Sorry there.
yeah.
8.6, ministers meeting update.
Okay, 8.6, one amendment, ministers meeting update.
Update. Okay. I make the motion to accept the agenda as amended.
Yes.
I'll second it.
All in favor? Thank you. All right. Regular meeting of February 3rd, 2026. The minutes. Do we have a motion to move? Mover.
I'll move that we accept the minutes.
I'll second.
Any amendments, or do you see anything on there?
It's just one typo.
One
I
typo.
see in my.
I saw that too.
What is it?
Hang on, I gotta get back to it.
Instead of she were, it should be she was
Was.
in the middle.
Okay. All in favor? Thank you. All right. Delegations, we'll welcome Mike Ukranitz from Yukon Development or Yukon Government Department of Community Services. Michael,
Welcome. Right out the gate, eh?
well, RCMP aren't here, so if they show up, they'll be on the back.
All right, if I have a sit here first.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Sure, I can spread
Make
this along.
yourself comfortable.
So I'm not sure kind of where you guys want to start. Like, if it's any specific questions to try to address, or if it's just kind of touching on everything.
How about we start with Michael Blake Rogers?
Yes.
I'm sure you know each other.
Yeah.
And Councillor Hanson or Councillor Belanger is back with
Yep.
us.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
So everybody knows Michael Ukranitz. If you don't know,
Been out in the CarMax area basically since 2017, I think. So,
yeah, so a while.
2007, actually. Pardon me. It's almost 20 years. So it's been a while. Yeah.
Nice. Well, we want to thank you for taking the time to come see us and talk about a couple of different things. We'll start. Let's start. Right off the gate here, we kind of gave you a little bit of a list, but do you want to start with the DMAP project update or the scales or this most recent kind of
Yeah, I mean,
scales, I guess?
scales is sort of like that's the project Davis Sun on Stick handling. So as far as I understand, most of that's complete. I think they're just wrapping up total completion on that. I think you guys have Starlink in there now and have done some training. I think there was some question on occupancy permit.
We have a couple questions. Blake, did you want
For the waste
to
scale,
scales yet?
yeah, I think yeah, the big one was about the software to communicate with the scale. You know, there was it we were still waiting on that. Is that so that's been updated? It's all come through.
As far as I know, yeah, it's just reaching out to Avery, I believe. So like once you have internet connection, that is all the training and software is all through Avery.
Okay.
That's my understanding. So if the Castle Rock should have purchased the software, is that, do you guys
Yes.
have that?
Yes.
Okay, so it's just training now that needs to be complete.
Yes, and building permit. Building inspector has to come still.
Yeah, so that's the occupancy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Dave is working on that right now, I think. So that's imminent.
Okay. Then what about future data?
For the scale?
Yeah.
Like
that permanent, like we talked about, like horizontal drilling for the data. Is that something that the government's looking at providing, or what does that look like?
I'm not sure because that's in lieu of Starlink, correct? Is that
That's what we're using instead of having that connection.
okay?
But like, I guess anything that gets developed on that side of the highway would then need to have this connection. So as like a community, the availability of, or the option of having that, like that's our question is like.
I guess it depends on what was in the contract docs. So if that was supposed to be included in contract docs, then yeah. If not, then Starlink might have been that only option. I think it's similar to what Mayo, because Mayo's running on the same system.
Yeah.
So, but I can follow up.
Sure. I mean, for future development too, so right? Like if it's only on one side of the highway, they're switching sides. Like I know they did drill across for LSCFN to get their access from one side to the other. Like it switched sides when it was on the bridge. So
So where does it run then along the side of the highway?
yeah, like it must switch at the bridge and then go, and then they had to come back to go over to LSCFN's property for the main admin stuff and all that road, like Ninro and all those roads that they drilled underneath the highway.
Yeah, because that's Total North, right? Because they own all the lines. I'm trying to work with Total North right now because of the, we'll get into it a bit, but like a drilling program, because all their lines run down River Drive. They go across the bridge. I don't know which side they go across the bridge on, and then it
Right. If you're
flips.
going north, it's on the right side, and then the box goes across. Like there's two boxes.
Yeah, okay. So it crosses over at the intersection there, is what I understand from talking to.
Just before.
Yeah, okay.
And that, like, when it floods, you can see the lids. I guess they fixed that part because I've seen, like, in the summertime that they've kind of adjusted those lids so they don't float.
That's full boxes, dirty boxes. Okay, but you're talking going out towards the landfill, right?
Yeah, so the landfill, it's on the opposite side.
And data goes out that far?
Yeah, there's houses there.
And very okay. Because when I talk to Total North, there's a like there's Total North. There's two different lines in the community, and then Northwest Tel is part of that as well. So I don't know who actually owns what infrastructure. But I can talk to Dave about that. So it's just a data connection to the scale.
I'm pretty sure we're the ones that put in the Total North lines. So all the Village of CarMax places were connected.
And that's just kind of like what we're getting at, so we can collect the data.
Then I'll confirm that with Dave.
Anything else on the scale? So expectation of occupancy should be like what, like 2 weeks out, or like what are we talking?
That's my understanding. As far as I know, the inspections have been done. So it's just doing the paperwork with Castle Rock, my understanding. So it should be, like I said, it's fairly imminent from talking to Dave. But
What was the next one you had there?
Public Works.
Public Works building. Yeah, that's a good
Yes.
one.
The tender documents are prepped and ready to go. So, like the RFP documents, and it's all based on like the previous discussions that we'd had. So that's all the retrofit. KZA did some costing for us. So like we're hoping that this go around it actually comes back within budget. There's some options in there, like we're talking before about whittling it down if there's some option provided pricing doesn't come in on budget. Right now the IPA, so like our implementation phase approval internally, because it's already part of the fire hall project, it has to be changed up a little bit. So those initial funding documents, like the date of completion, all those things need to get updated. I think Dave's sent the letter through, so we got that. So that finalizes our documents to get it in routing. So it's sometime I'm anticipating merch. That we're going to be able to try to get this out for tender with an award, hopefully in like April. And then hopefully get construction underway as soon as possible, provide pricing comes back suitable.
And remind me, based off that new building, are we still retrofitting the old one, or what was that piece to that?
Yeah, I was, well, we went out for tender with the new build, and that came in way over budget. Then we went back to KZA to get sort of what do you call that? Just have a look, I guess, review those tender documents, the pricing, where that came in. And when they had a look at that, they would have had to cut it right back down to like a single bay with the updated pricing over the last couple of years to bring it back into budget, which didn't meet your guys' requirements. And just seemed totally inappropriate to put in a one bay public works building. So that's one way to do
We're
it.
pretty much where we're at right now.
Yeah. So the idea right now, like we're talking about before, is like the retrofit the existing add a bay. So there's essentially like three bays. So like one large for the larger equipment, one pull through or both pull through, and then one with a vehicle lift is hopefully what we're trying to get out of that budget. So pricing comes back better than where it's been.
At what point would you be, or us as together building something for a building, do we look at pulling it back and getting something like a hangar style that Air North has, or something that's heated that just gives us the square footage?
In lieu of like a retrofit, I think that would be a whole different exercise because right now we had to actually go back to Canada to get approval to change the project to a retrofit as opposed to the new build. So at that point in time, it wouldn't fit into the current funding agreement. So then it would have to be a completely new
Whole
ask. Yeah.
good.
So we're trying to get as much as possible out of this dollar because like it's approved funding. So we have, I think, a little over 3 million left out of that fund for the third hall to put into the public works. So like the building is there. Might as well make it operational and use as much of the dollars as possible.
And what's the total job price?
For the public works.
Yeah, like a ballpark of like what that funding is.
What's left is I think it's in the 3.7 range, 3.8 range. So then minus design fees and all the rest of the sort of thing. So I think we're looking at construction like 3.1 at most, 2.9 to 3.1 is kind of open. So
Anybody else have any questions on the public works building or Mike?
just a clarity one. So yeah, Mike, when we were talking a couple weeks ago, you were just saying so the funding for this so FCF funding sunset, but trying to move it forward, dealing with capital budget expenditures and trying to break this out into a provisional budget. So is there any issue with just like the fund itself? Like that is there a chance that it might not go through, or is it definitely like
No, it's through. We have a Canada approval to pivot to the retrofit. So that's what we're sort of waiting on. So that took, I don't know, a few weeks to finally get that through. The issue is like fiscal year capital budgeting, and then it's sunsetting because I think it's to the end of fiscal year 27 is when the fund sunsets. So we essentially have like a year plus construction window. So once it like if it proceeds further, like we have to keep kicking that can down the road, then we're running into a timing scheduling issue. There's potential that they could theoretically allow us to extend it, but we have to work within the timelines that we have currently. So
Yeah.
we'll see how that goes. But hopefully it's not a huge project in terms of like construction windows. So a year plus on a retrofit shouldn't be a big deal. It's just getting in it to tender. But then working backwards is when
All right.
sunsets in the end of fiscal year 27, and then like all the documentation submittals to Canada, closeouts, total performance, all that sort of thing. So like it basically puts us at a substantial completion date, like in and around October, August for me, with total in October of next year. So it's kind of tight.
Okay, let's start with the well, you go ahead, pick Mike. It's either the lagoon we're going to talk about or DMAF project updates and what that all looks like.
Yeah, lagoon, I guess, is the easiest. I really only have sort of three points on that one because it's sitting at the same point roughly as the last time that we were bringing it up. Is its conceptual design is done. We had acceptance from the community on location and buy-in to move ahead. It's still sitting with that property issue with Little Settlement. And that's kind of what's it's in YG stick hand with negotiations with Little Settlement. And that got kind of delayed because of all the elections. So like we're planning to start that in like October, and then just the elections since that point in time. So I've been trying to follow up on that to try to get that result sooner than later as well.
So a couple questions on that I got here. Is the proposed site for the new lagoon in a place that could potentially be a good residential area? That's one of the questions. I'm pretty sure you've heard that one before. The last time we met, I asked that. And are there already holes drilled? Yes, we know that there is
Water
testing.
monitoring.
Yeah, water monitoring for like 3 years that you did it for? Almost no,
It was minimum 2 years. I
it's
mean,
been
they're still
three
in
though.
place, but yeah, we had they've been in place for 3 years at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, the first question I guess was the residential area, as some citizens have brought that to our attention that it is a good potential. If it's potentially good for a lagoon, it's potentially good for lots that can have the drainage and everything. So that's one of the concerns that was raised.
Yeah. Houses, where is their poop gonna go?
Yeah.
That's
Well, the so based off of kind of, I'm asking a question, but at the same time, I'll answer a question. The land that is good to produce a lagoon would then be good for a septic field, which then you wouldn't need to have the lagoon. Like,
But just for
for
those houses.
those houses,
I just
in
think,
that area.
yeah, and I think there's a lot of soils issues in that area. Like, it does have decent perk rates, but I don't think, I think Adam Greenwood did a bunch of study down that whole area of the bypass, and none of it was really suitable, I guess, is my understanding. So, like, you could theoretically put houses there, but whether foundation-wise soils would be suitable, that's a whole nother story. Yeah. So,
Said they couldn't build Walmart where it said, and it's there.
if you want to throw as much money at anything, I guess it's possible, but.
Well, that's a great question, also. And do you know where we're at with the numbers on this preliminary design and the testing and the location and kind of?
Existing expenditures so far, yeah, there's it's a fair chunk of change. So, like, between the geotech, because I think there's like 3 years worth of geotech and exploration, because they're on both sides, test pits, the water monitoring, it's probably pushing like $750,000, just in existing work now, plus maybe a little bit in design. Forecast, like, my estimate for design is in the $1.3 million range. Finalizing design, and then construction is kind of up in the air right now. Like, we're going to need to get a little bit further down the road with design options in order to get them priced out. But a few years ago, I think the existing consideration was about 15, maybe 20.
I heard 19 before.
Yeah, so between 15, 20. I think it's escalated off the merits. I think that was 3 years ago.
Based on that question and those numbers, the question is raised once again of whose infrastructure is this? Will it be LSCFN or VOCs, or the location of the plot of land isn't in our
Parameters.
flow boundary? And those are some of the questions that are still going back and forth, even in a joint council meeting, even here in these meetings. Our concern would be the cost of implementing one of these high-end infrastructures, like the maintenance and everything, the cost of it. And then to ensure it, operate it. I mean, that's questions for both ways, right? So.
Yeah, and it's kind of unfortunately just a timeline for this, because I mean, we've been sort of discussing these things for many years, and working groups and trying to hash that out and service agreements and what have you. The option, like the conceptual design now, is supposed to be as low maintenance as possible. So essentially, like you say, it acts like a giant septic field, rather than having pumps and discharges and emergency sort of things into river, because that was the other option, is trying to like directional drill through the mountain to discharge to a river. So it's reducing the O&M. So, like, it's considerably less, my understanding, than operating the facility now, the annual station. So.
Some of the questions that we have, but as a community, would be the educational part to have those operators and the piping that would lift it to that area, in what it would take to operate that stuff. And I guess the question is what YTG possibly going to take that on if we don't come to a solution to get just this other pit closed and get a proper pit put in until we figure this out, because it keeps, like you said, going on and on and on. So.
Well, and we like the latest ran out of battery. The latest on that was, like I said, this the property sort of trying to resolve that discussion, because that came up last year. So it's just these incremental little changes keep kicking that can down the road.
Yeah.
So we just keep dragging it out further and further. And like everybody knows that the pit now, I mean, based on the testing, is unsuitable. It's unlicensed. And just it's being used, but I think it's on the presumption that there is a pit that's being developed. So there's a solution to this problem.
Right.
So like if we remove one item, that just ends up with a whole bunch of different other options to try to resolve.
So like based on all these points, these key points, one of the things we did ask our community advisor to ask you was having a third party come and take a look at the wastewater facility to assess what that would look like to update it, to be able to, like, if this, like we talked about before, recommissioning it or how that transferring it into a lift station, if there's something that could be done until we figure out what's going on with this site and close this pit that's unsanctioned, to alleviate some of that cost or what that is, because right now we have a building that's capable possibly that we'd like to have somebody assess, and then, you know, closing this pit down that's not environmentally correct, right?
Like, yeah, I did. Prior to sort of jumping in on the lagoon, like we did have Stantec go back and look at the waste treatment plant for upgrades. And there was a number thrown around about 750K to 900 to do retrofits. And then when we brought Stantec in to bring this, like bring the design forward a bit, like it's bringing it up to code, the capacity issues, building expansion, all that sort of thing, that number quickly ended up being $3 million, like pushing $3 million. And that was just to get it up to code and operational. That doesn't alleviate any like the infiltration and capacity issues.
Right. But where do you weigh in the fact of reusing this building to make it a lift station? So some of that, those numbers and some of that, what you're talking about, bringing it up to date, would that not be considered part of this lagoon project?
It depends on the direction that ends up going, because there's the option of the lift station that was sort of just a like a pump house essentially outside of it. So
if we're looking for a direction and not kicking this can down the road, this is somewhere I think that we could start. And then we have something sustainable to use, right?
The end result of the discussion with Stantec was that that would only bring it up to operational, but it's already at capacity, so that wouldn't alleviate any of the capacity issues.
So, do you want to speak on some of that?
It was, yeah. It's been a pain in the butt since I first got on council in 2009, because it was never built properly. It was supposed to be able to take all of LSCFNs.
So I think there's a bit of an opportunity to change the style of the way that it operates and reduce or maximize what we can produce and gain time of like how much effluent is going through there.
It's the sludge stuff, like that everything that comes out of that goes to the pit. So then you have to
not necessarily
sludge drying beds.
Yeah, they have drying beds and they flush it, so they're able to lift and aerate the patties to isolate them. And not necessarily, it's only like once or twice a year that stuff could go to Whitehorse. There's other options there to get rid of that sludge. Like it's not like a daily thing, it's not a monthly thing, it's like a yearly thing.
But how much, like, how often does it get?
That's the thing. It's only once a year, or it depends on how much cakes are in there. When they start putting the aerate to it, then they start coming to the top. Then the truck comes in and takes care of it, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like it's a ton of stuff.
I don't think it's the sludge that was the issue. I think it was just capacity, because in 21, 22, like during those huge flood events, like it was basically an emergency discharge. So any additional infiltration basically nullifies any treatment.
So what I would like to see is maybe another assessment based off of the work that we've had done to the culverts about those flow rates and what the capacity is, like, you know.
Yeah, because that was done last summer.
That's right.
So we'll have one full year.
Yeah. So you'll have some data there. Maybe that can help us out on what those actual numbers are.
Yeah, because we're really hoping that that did solve a lot of the infiltration problem. It's just, like I said, it's a capacity issue. So short of increasing the capacity of the plant, I think that's kind of where the where it was plus or minus whether it was worse.
From what I remember having conversations with Bill and the operators there, that building was designed to have an extension of cells added to it. It's like that was the preliminary design of what the capabilities of that building are. So,
and I recall a conversation years ago about the First Nation was going to, they had to change the attachment so the First Nation could hook up to it and dump their septic trucks. And the executive director and council at that time said no. When they heard the price of it, they said no. And they just continued using the pit because that doesn't cost anything.
Cheapest.
Yeah.
Well, what was that you?
Oh, I would say before COVID, 2017, 2018, maybe 2015.
It's been enough. Fairly recently. Well, it, 10 years.
It feels like we've been talking about the lagoon for like at least 10 years.
I was still rec director, so it's over 15 years.
Yeah. Maybe what we'd like to see is some, like, there's some options there. Maybe that there's places to have a drying bed, the size, what we would need from Stantec. Maybe it could help us out with some of that stuff to see, to alleviate. Because one of the issues that we're having is that when we have an inspection at the wastewater facility, our water license is tied to this lagoon, which is now unsanctioned. And we keep failing to meet the requirements based on that part of the water license.
Is that correct? This is some of the thing that we're trying to explore and looking at some of the paperwork, and we're going back and looking at water licenses from like 2009 and earlier. And the water license is explicit in that you guys can remove waste to deposit somewhere, but there's no reference to the pit, and everything that we can find, like in the last week and looking at it, is it's YG owned. So that isn't part of the municipal water license.
I thought I got put back onto it though, because I know Elaine refused to sign with the water license.
I think we have something.
Yeah.
Would that help you?
It's C, I think, whatever that ends up being. It was like three quarters full, and suddenly it's like
that was kind of the consensus that they came to, was that it's not actually on our license anymore.
Okay, so it looks like I just got an email today, Mike. Says as discussion over the phone summarized what I found so far regarding the lagoon and the water license. Waterline Yukon Water Board is the water license database you can access as a guest. Okay, the village only has one active license, and then it states the license number. This is for the wastewater treatment plant and is attached here. This license expires December 31st, 2028. I don't see a reference to sewage pit in license. Attaches a copy of historical expired licenses. And yeah, so I guess what it would be from environmental health, like when we get that review, why that discrepancy is showing on their end.
So it's environmental health that's flagging it as?
Yeah.
There were references in the bill gave me last week that basically said that it's an inspection because of this, because it was still attached to the pit. So there seems to be kind of like
that disparity.
So maybe if there's a letter that comes.
Yeah, because everything that we found in the last couple of days has all been YG. Like, and that came as well from ops, because I think actually ops breaks the lagoons like they used to do for the solid waste facility.
Mm-hmm.
All the correspondence that I've seen over the past few days says the same thing. It's all YG owned. So who are you dealing with at environmental health? Is it Diana?
It maybe just, straight to the director. I'm not sure who
WSP. WSP.
Does their testing.
They do the inspection.
So WSP does the inspection for EHS.
Okay.
Maybe it's something that you could...
It's not like
in the charger. Yeah, so I mean that's one of the concerns. So
it's just the charger.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was YG because I think this came up in conversation before we talked with Saru about sort of like remediation options later on, like once the new lagoon goes in, what happens to that thing? Yeah. So hopefully that's not impacting your guys' water lessons, but I can have a look at that and confirm.
I said that's why I said plug it in here, it'll be closer.
Oh, I didn't realize what you were talking about. There you go, Dennis.
I do
I'm trying to be helpful.
Sign off on the sewage treatment plant until we got the septic pit taken off of it. And she was a tiny mayor, but she was very forceful.
Who was that?
Elaine Wyatt.
Oh, okay.
Chelsea was mad. Start clicking. Well,
I think that would do us the justice of the money that's allocated for the lagoon and the scope of work that we've talked about for a couple of years now to have somebody come in that's an operator, not necessarily an engineer, to come in and set and assess the wastewater facility. I don't know if that could come out of some of the funds that's designated to the lagoon, to have an operator that's a level 4 or whatever come and say, like, hey, like this is from my experience as an operator, what we're looking at.
Yeah, and I can try to do the same thing because it's probably also an engineering exercise. So they might look at it in like flows capacities like Greenwood was doing, Stantec had done initially, but I think we're still in that issue of having to bring it up to current code, which is the items that were flags of aeration and cell. I think there was some to do with cells, all the electrical in the building. And that's what I mean is like getting $3 million just to upgrade.
So some of our, I guess, bite back on that is, the building was never open, like actually signed off as operational. So that type of work was never really found out, and we're still dealing with it a decade later. So if it was never commissioned, now we're trying to decommission it or reuse it.
Yeah.
There's got to be somewhere middle ground where we can figure out how to get some type of update. Because even if we're using the building for a lift station, that electrical and all that work is still going to have to be looked at, done.
Yeah.
To some extent.
That's a change of view, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Eventually. Yeah. So it'll end up being a redesign at some point in time. It's a bit of a trade-off of throwing good money after bad. Like how much do you keep dollars at it if the idea is to put the lagoon in place?
Yep. But that's going to take time too. And it's going to take years.
It's already been at least 10 years of at least.
And probably longer than that, because some of the stuff that I was looking at goes back like 2005. It was discussed in the lagoon.
Because I don't even remember the year, but I had to speak up at LSCFN General Assembly when they were trying to figure out the spaces. I'm like, right now it's an open pit.
So that kind of leads us into the DMF thing about, is some of this funding for that building or for... What are the options and what is, like, we have no clue what this project is. We know what it is, but we have no clue of the details of what the main body of this is and what the expectations are. Community engagement, those three kind of pieces to it.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a bit of a loaded question.
Yeah.
Because, like, going back to Matt, for example, like his tenure.
Yeah.
All of the documents were provided to Matt, and they've been provided in each iteration going forward. So the whole design, the outcomes, the Schedule G, the conceptual designs, all of that has been provided. So I don't know what happens to that info. That explains the whole project. So that has been provided. The stuff that I am going to disconnect on is the background, like how we got to that point, because that was prior to David and I getting involved in this project. I think some of it started off in like 21. They did the flood mapping, I think, 21,
yes.
21 to 23. There was a final report in 23. The only thing I can find, like I said, it was a bit of a short timeline to try and locate some of the stuff and get people on board, because our original intent there again was to bring all the people that had been involved in this whole project from that point to now, up to do like a presentation on what this project is, but that aligned there again in October of last year, and then we couldn't do that process because of the elections. So there again, we've kind of kicked that can down the road a bit. So the only thing I can find is there was that various engagement. Like this is stuff I'm still trying to source out.
Yep.
In 24, like some of the stuff, there's like an open house in 24, some reports.
Like all of you guys were on council. I'm like, so obviously it wasn't done well.
I found the document like online at the, I guess it's called Water, the, what's it called, the Atlas?
They were at two LSAFN General Assemblies 2 years in a row, just getting information from citizens, but not really explaining what it was for or why.
Some of it's really short turnaround time too, because I think it, 21 and 22 were the huge flood years. They engaged Water Resource Branch to do the flood mapping in 21. That's when they started it. So it was late 21. That's when they brought Stantec in to do that work. And they did like 19 communities, is my understanding. And then from there, like 23 into 24 was that sort of engagement process. And then there was a very short window of basically selecting the most impacted communities, and that's where the applications went in.
So it's like Tesla and CarMax.
Yeah, not even for DMAF. Like CarMax, I think, is the only one that got DMAF funding. I think Tesla applied for some of it. They didn't get any funding. The only other DMAF approval that I'm aware of is through Wildland Fire. I don't think that was last year. So they got it just like before us, a year before us, I think.
Yeah.
So CarMax is the only one that's gotten the actual like DMAF contribution funding from Canada.
I think from what I'm hearing, like I do remember some of these meetings and how it all got built up and got the data to do this, but I think there was just a disconnect on the engagement of what really is going to happen here to this road, to the residences' property. That's the piece that we don't know.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to bring the actual people that were involved in doing that design, because like me kind of piecemealing their information together, I'm trying to gloss through the stuff that they put together for you guys. So some of it I'm a bit at a loss for until I bring them on board. And I was hoping to do that a heck of a lot earlier than now. So like, I think we're talking like maybe March.
So is there hard dates that this is supposed to happen, or are you giving there some time for this community engagement? People to ask what's going to happen with my property, what's going to happen with my well, what's going to happen with
100%. That's the one thing, like it's still real early on. Basically what we're trying to do is navigate around the regulatory portion, because that is like, it's sort of like the lagoon where you need like 2 years of data. That regulatory portion has taken up so much time in order to transition into any of the design. So we have to take the outcomes that were in the approved Canada document. So we have the total outcome. So that's sort of what we have to meet. And it's the sort of the nuance within that, like the scope that has some wiggle room. There was two options, I guess, that were selected as part of this whole process. One was like a high operational costs option, and the other was a high capital cost. Yeah. So through Matt, I think that was one thing. Actually, both Little Salmon and you guys selected like the high capital cost option, because then it doesn't leave you in an emergency situation trying to deal with which is sandbagging or what have you.
Yeah.
So that's like the road raising, highway raising, the tweak and stuff like that. So, and then it's up to that process. I don't know where or how those specific details were chosen, but going from that, like I said, we have the outcomes. Like ultimately, we're just trying to protect the community from flooding. And then some like the groundwater issues and all as well, but we'll have to start that whole process. So that engagement process and consultation, once we get a little bit more detail on the regulatory part, then it's leading into that. So like same thing, working groups with Will Salmon and yourself.
Yeah.
So it's not jumping into any work. Like it's not like everything is just, this is set in stone, this is what we're doing. Yeah. You guys have no say in anything.
But it's just the way it came out with the amount of money for flood mitigation to CarMax was like, it's a big deal, a lot of money. And people are like, what? But to break it down, there was talks and decisions made on the body of what that would look like, how to get the money. And then now you're saying how we're going to implement.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, just basically, that's high level. So the total cost is like, this was the assumption based on these outcomes, what the total cost estimate was, and then we'll sort of work that back.
Yeah.
So, like you say, driveways and things like that—that's all stuff that has to get resolved.
Okay.
Like, We can't just race a roll and just leave everybody.
Yeah, well, just on our end when we're getting questions, so we kind of know now, talking to you, like where we're at, what we can share with the public on what their expectations are, that there's meeting engagements to come.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's good. And that's what we, it, part of the contract for both regulatory and Stantec in their contracts is a public engagement session or multiple sessions.
And so let's just say if Stantec did that original mapping, there's some data that was missed in some areas. Like, we know that now. Are they taking some of that information now, or are they going to wait till a public engagement where a citizen says, hey, you didn't see where my house was flooded and it's not on your map?
Yeah, it's hard. And that's the questions that I've actually been asking. I was away all last week, but I was trying to hit some meetings with some of that working group from Stantec to get an understanding of what that looks like.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. There's some metrics that were qualifications for the funding from Canada, and it's essentially public infrastructure, like the critical infrastructure, like downtown core stuff.
Yeah.
Individual residences doesn't fall into that approved or eligible category, is my understanding.
But roads do.
Roads access, so like emergency access, egress and access routes, that sort of thing. So that River Drive, that fits into that category. Obviously, the highway would fit into that category. And then like the Little Salmon side that protects some of that whole community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same sort of thing. Like it's acting as that in here. So like the fire hall doesn't get impacted, fire access, lagoon, future lagoon access, things like that. But it is hard, but it will. That's part of that discussion process, is a further engagement and consultation with you guys and Little Salmon. Yeah. So like all that stuff will get vetted out. And I'm assuming it'll be the same sort of thing. Like it'll be discussions, it'll be points brought forward. Critiques, criticisms, recommendations,
right.
Anything like that. Yeah. It's not just going to be wholesale, just run roughshod through the community, building up infrastructure.
Well, right now, that's how people feel because.
Yeah. Well, and we're, like I said, we're hoping to try to get that alleviated and have the public engagement sessions and then the elections kind of throw a wrench into that. So it's a bit unfortunate that we've sort of dragged it so far down the road. But like March, that's supposed to start. Just based on people's holidays, people coming up, like the whole Stantec team actually had a call with them this afternoon, and they're willing to bring anybody up, like hydrological, geotech, anybody to come up and have.
Yeah, because right now we have an opportunity with the freshet, like everything's going to start springtime, right?
It's yes. Yeah.
Like good time to take a real good look at it.
Yeah, and we tried to do some, like the regulatory portion, Osenka was up. They did the flyover, they did some LIDAR info. I mean, that's to support the regulatory process, but also supports the conceptual design so that they know what the impacts are. Like that was all October, I guess, when they came up. And they'll probably be doing the same thing now. Heritage assessment, that'll be another thing that gets started here as soon as there's melt.
Right.
But where are there?
What's part of that first initial group, do you recall it being like cabins and heritage sites and stuff that got impacted? Is that part of this funding is also?
Not so much. No, it's
like
just,
you said it has a specific.
The critical infrastructure, critical and public. So like I said, downtown core, access routes, like accesses, emergency vehicles, that sort of thing. Obviously the waste train.
And so I guess one of the concerns is when you're talking about that, it's would be like the groundwater that's like coming up. So it's not as much as the flooding, but what we're doing to alleviate that. Like I don't see that in there.
It's remark. Not. Yeah, and it's not. And initially, like it's basically just flooding. So it's a disaster. And I mean, it's a consequence of. So I think like when the river comes up, then your guys' groundwater elevation comes up.
Yeah.
So the one thing that is going to be starting, well, we were hoping to actually have it underway a week ago, but the drill program, which is just collecting the geotech data to support the regulatory, which also supports some of the early discussions on what the ground looks like to what those impacts are. Like, what is the ground under the road? Like, is it is it just pass through? I guess, like, obviously it does so underneath the road to some degree. So the geotech aspect of that will help.
That design. So when you're talking about drilling, So what kind of impacts is that going to have on our aquifers or stuff like that? Has that all been assessed? Like,
Yeah, it's short. It's I think 10 meters.
shallow.
Like they're fairly shallow. Yeah, and it's just to collect geotech data, like all the existing conditions and road construction, what's there now, just so that that can be better defined. They're not drilling down into
Just touching,
aquifers.
right?
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah,
Safety of
poking around and
an
stuff.
aquifer.
Yeah,
Okay.
so that's supposed to start. They have, I think, there's 10, 9 or 10 holes down River Drive. Two with the highway location. I think there's four on Little Sam Musa.
Yeah. That's what the
So,
map says.
what for me?
That's what the map says.
Okay. So I got it correct.
Yes. I also know exactly how the groundwater moves because that flooding, there was a literal stream coming out of my basement and into my basement.
And that's your, how far are you down River Drive?
A couple blocks. It's McDade, the corner of McDade and River Drive.
Yeah, because there's also there's a spring that comes out behind the fire. So that was all addressed. I've seen some of the construction photos of that too. So like, there's a lot of water in the ground through there.
Oh yeah,
It's a river,
Dennis
isn't it?
lives
I have the same problem.
little bit over. Yeah.
So then you also end up, because there's been lots of water advisories over the past few years as well, correct?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, so this is it, all stuff that will end up having to come out in the wash with. Some of that engagement with Stantec and doing some of that conceptual design of geotech.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Oh,
my water tastes good. I'm probably part of that natural spring.
I mean,
Ed and Twyla too.
I guess the only question I have, like, this would be, I agree. Like, I think just having a communication strategy around this next implementation, and I think it's well timed, just given the, like, it's one right in the flood season. But I guess it's just kind of, yeah, maybe like working with you or with Stantec on just kind of what that looks like and kind of how we can support that, just to make sure that there's maximum engagement with people and with the right info. Because that's like we were saying yesterday, it's really, perception can become reality pretty quick. People don't have a chance to be able to.
Well, especially when you start rolling down a drill rig down River Drive.
That's
So,
it.
but yeah, and on the ice. Yeah, it's just weird because the other issue with like being YG is pretty much anything that we do requires ESAC. So that's kind of the other impact. And what we're running into, like we had this drilling program set up, and then come to find out that through HPW and their right of way permits, they require ESAB and then just like a decision document from ESAB in order to proceed with that. So it's like, okay, well, now they're looking at 6, 8 months for that portion. That just informs the overall regulatory. So then it's now another 6, 8, 12 months is sort of our understanding timeline. So then we're talking like almost 2 years just to get ESAB complete on an 8-year project that we're already a year into. So like trying to be as expeditious as possible and sequencing the work as much as possible. Because the other thing that we're looking at option wise is to also not remove, but like split up the ESAB application between Little Salmon side and Village side, because the work here is, it's not as impactful like in terms of the ESAB, because they have their own decision, like they're the decision body for the land on that side of the river. And I think there's that engagement process, like you say, is kind of important between yourselves and Little Salmon. I think there's a lot more engagement into to finalize sort of what the thoughts are around like how the beachfront is going to be, as opposed to like a. And the other impact in that is like if we sequence it out and we get a decision, the River Drive portion, that work can start and not as be as impactful as having all of it going all at the same time. So they like
It's not
filling up
tied.
hotels and the work and equipment and people and costs and all that sort of thing. So that's something that we're trying to be cognizant of too.
Oh, there's a big highways public works yard there that they put up
For a camp.
an extra hotel. No problem, man. Huh?
Another project.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the development, that's, I understand like there's a lot of development potential and opportunity that's coming up in
Yeah.
discussion. And so like,
Well, that is a good question and a good to raise that is like inform, infrastructure, the way the community is growing. is that like through this public engagement, that's going to be a big part of what happens there, because fire infrastructure needs to be growing. When you're going to start doing something to the road, then we'd like to see what that is and those impacts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
We were talking about it a little bit yesterday too, but in terms of the fibers along the river, I guess, like, what are you able to kind of just say kind of what precautions are being taken just to kind of make sure that fiber lines aren't being cut and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I've already spoken with Total North to do new locates, so that'll be coordinated with the drill program, because we ran into that issue putting the arena in. Like, the contractor hit the line, but it wasn't where they said it was supposed to be. So we don't know for sure, and we'd sooner have them provide us the locates of where their stuff is, so that if something happens, this is where he told us it was supposed to be. That being said, I mean, doing drill program down the side of the road, like, it doesn't matter if you've planned it, you hit it, there's still an impact. So you're still a week or whatever of, like, because I think those two lines that we were talking about earlier, they're split up. So one's all the government programs and one's the municipal stuff. So, like, the nursing station and RCMP and all that sort of thing are all in one. So, like, the last thing you want to be doing is punching holes into communications lines. Mm-hmm. The schedule, from what I'm told from Stantec on the drill program, it's about one day. It's either day or a week, I think. I think it's 8 hours, maybe. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. I'll have to confirm that, but, like, the extent, the duration of that program is not.
Okay,
so that's the other consideration for that too.
Just one more quick question, just to segue. Is Jenna was talking to me today. She said, just mentioning that about just kind of in general, like, funds like this are kind of like seeming like they're drying up a bit. Are you able to comment on that a little bit? Just kind of like, I guess, just especially just given the fact that this is quite a big project, a lot of money, but kind of what things look like.
Yeah, you're right. Like, we keep waiting for ISIP 2.0, and it's not really forthcoming. There's some potential rumblings of another election coming up, so that could derail things as well. There's smaller programs like CHIP and HIC and all that sort of thing, and it's basically housing adjacent. So it's like, it's infrastructure, not housing specifically. It's just weird the way that the name is. It implies that you're building housing, but it's nothing to do with housing other than the stuff that it takes to put in housing.
Right.
But it's all merit-based, and the struggle that we're having, and I don't think, to, like, you guys are specific in that, is like Teslin and all these people that have put in these applications, because it's merit-based, you're competing with everybody else. So it's really hard as a small community in a territory of like 45,000 people to get huge dollars when you're competing with Toronto's and Vancouver's and all these other large places. So that's a tough thing about it. So, which is a little unfortunate, because, I mean, people are applying to that for infrastructure upgrades.
Yeah. Anybody else? Any follow-up questions for Mike?
The only thing that I could ask, if that's doable, is, like, if there's any other questions, like anything specific that you want to know the answers to, the more I know, the easier it is for us to try to address it.
Okay.
Like, if any of those comes up, or if there's anything that comes out question wise, community wise, let Jenna know or Parker when she's back.
Yeah.
And then that all just gets relayed. So we can deal with it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think the other questions were for the minister that got here from me, but yeah. Thanks for coming. Maybe you could answer me a little bit on the arena, even though we think we might be done with that, or are we done with that, or what can you?
The only thing that sort of that is still looming right now is the ventilation issue. And that goes back to this whole code thing, but it also ties back into like the very inception of the project. Mm-hmm. So we're going like right back to
preliminary design.
Yeah, preliminary design kind of thing. We've done the humidity testing. It shows like higher humidity, but there's only like a couple of days.
Yeah.
That's a whole year. So it's more the ventilation issue as it relates to code.
Right.
So that's something that we'll have to talk to KZA or get some of that feedback.
And it depends if we have the ice in or not.
Yeah, so there's some suggestions. I have some recommendations that I think were being explored, and that's like potentially like opening up a door when the ice is being removed to mitigate that. And the same thing, like putting ice in. I don't know exactly what that looks like yet. So that's eventually that's still in discussion, but really that's kind of where we're oh,
Yeah.
we're still stick handling things.
Yeah.
But.
We're still stick handling some heating issues and some plumbing issues
Yeah,
and building envelope issues.
I've talked to Noel a bit,
Okay. Yeah.
so I'm aware of some of that stuff. So, like I said, it's worth a discussion or an offline discussion or what have you.
Okay.
Comes,
Appreciate that.
yeah,
Yeah.
some CO2.
Not
Not
anymore.
anymore.
False alarm for CO2.
CO2.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
As far as we know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, if anything else, yeah, I mean, just bring it up. So,
Okay.
you know, it's.
Well, we thank you for your help with the 20,000 for the heating months ago, because it really helped. And it's in minus 50, even though we had problems, but at least the boilers were working.
Because that when because Noel,
Noel got that finished before it got cold.
that's November or something like that, right? Okay, so well, thankfully,
Yeah. We're still waiting for you to come play hockey.
every time I step on the ice, it blows my knees
You
out because I'm
feel like you could just drop the puck.
I'd love to skate, is what I'd love to do.
Skate
But
with the 5-year-olds.
yeah.
Well, I played hockey for 13 years, and then I got that ended my career is getting my knees toasted. So now I'm feeling my age these days.
Well, thanks, Mike.
Yes, thanks
Yeah.
very much.
Thanks for clearing some of that stuff up, and we look forward to, well, the DMAF one is a big one. Yeah, just occupancy on the scales and what that looks like. We heard you're going to be the first truck through.
To bring my stuff in.
Yeah.
I got lots. I got lots at home. Yeah, that's no problem.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay. So I'm good to go?
Yeah. Thank you.
Drive safe.
Yeah, thanks. I'll turn and burn.
Thank
Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
you.
Tell David we said hello.
Will do. Yeah, I'll let him know I'm taking on.
All right, moving forward, correspondence, not seeing any. Move right along to council activity reports. Councillor Hanson.
Again.
You must have been out and about.
I better do something.
Huh? Too busy working.
Yeah.
You need to have fun.
Yeah.
Councillor Mitchell.
Got to see some of that hockey tournament, and I got to say that it was very well organized, and that was very enjoyable to watch. Sad I missed the Bonnesville, but I had a couple of family issues that came up, and yeah, I had to go with that. So, other than that, good enough.
Councillor Boulanger.
I stopped by the arena for the hockey tournament just to get food. And I didn't partake in the curling bus bill at all. That's it. I've been just busy working.
Councillor Wheeler.
As the CarMax campus committee chair, I had dinner with UConn executive and the president, she acting president Sheila, and then also met with them today. They met with the community. If anyone knows of anybody interested in being the new UConn manager campus coordinator, the posting closes February 23rd. They're looking for a great person. I attended the Bonnesville to do sing some karaoke. It was really nice to see people. And I had someone ask me about rec activities in the evening. Like there used to be laser tag and stuff going on every once in a while for people just to join in. And they feel like it's kind of slowed down a bit and not much happening if you're not using the fitness center. And that's, yeah, that's about it for me.
Thank you. Yeah, for my report, really like to thank everybody for, well, two events, the hockey tournament, and the curling events. The The sponsors, the volunteers, the players, the everything the community is given the last, what, 2 to 3 weeks of just organizing these things. Really, really nice to see. Applaud them all. Yeah. I also joined Councillor Wheeler at a luncheon for UConn U. It was nice to see some familiar faces. And yeah, they were all happy. Lots of questions about the community and what's going on, what their needs are at UConn U, what kind of courses they can provide and help us with. So it's nice to hear that. Yeah. Other than that, still working with the youth every day. It's a pleasure to see them grow every day. So I'm doing it every day. And yeah, good to see the parents out there supporting them. Yeah, don't have anything really... Really, other than that, yeah. CAO report, Slate.
The minister meeting, I can bring that up in 8.6 a bit later. A lot of it was orientation to the CAO role. So just a big thanks to both Annette and Prince for yes. Guiding me along on a lot of things. It was great. I got a chance. It's been a great couple of weeks. Had a chance to meet with a number of staff. Like I met with, I think I met everybody so far. I think I just need to. It's just Marianne to meet in person, but I've met everybody else so far, which is great. There's been some one-on-one meetings with department heads. So Chanel, Blake, Jen's. And obviously Liam, Annette, Prince. And then introduction to a lot of key partners through email and phone. So such as Mike, Dave, our community advisor, Arbor, and now Jenna, who's filling in for her right now. Met a lot of residents as well too. We've had some drop-ins, so I've had a chance to kind of connect with a few people that way as well too. Familiarization with key projects, files, and systems. So a lot of the things that we talked about tonight with Mike and Dave did a bit of a walkthrough on my third day here about just the project history and everything like that. So it was good to just kind of get around my head around some of these bigger projects. Correspondence with residents on various topics related to community, in-person meeting with UConn Department of Community Services. So that was February 5th. Also yesterday, I had a chance, I had a medical appointment in town, so I took the opportunity to connect with everybody at Community Services, got a chance to meet everybody in the building there, which is really helpful. And then I had a great meeting on Friday with Kelly over at LSCFN. We met between for an hour and a half. Had a really, really good meeting. It was, it was... it was just really nice to get a chance to meet each other. So yeah, looking forward to more meetings to come. And we talked about a number of the things that we talked about tonight, DMAF, talked about joint council meeting, which we'll raise a bit later too. And then the other big thing was the Sustainable Communities Forum that Annette, Jens, and I attended last Wednesday and Thursday. So a lot of discussion about wildfire risk reduction, funding, partnership opportunities. Basically, it was a really big opportunity for networking. So Heather and Jeremy from LSCFM were at our table, so got a chance to get to know them a bit more. We met the minister as well too. So she was at our table for a bit, and then I also went out for a dinner with all the CAOs, and she was there as well too. So I had a chance to kind of, get to know each other a little bit. So that was really helpful. And then things, just some addendums to this that are a bit last minute items. So I got a chance to take in some of the bond spiel on Friday, which was great. It was fun just to connect with a few people over there. And
you got to meet Bonnie.
And I got to meet Bonnie. Yeah. It was great. And had some really good talks about tourism and just the area and history of the place. And so, yeah, it's been, that was really good. A few financial updates. So there was the elevator broke down this week over at the rec center, 17,000. It was an emergency repair, so needed to get fixed. It's about 17. It may be a bit less, depending on whether or not it's
which elevator?
Do you know, Annette?
It's the one that comes from the kitchen.
Oh, the old, yeah. The old one?
The old one, yes. The inspector came, and then, yeah, and then same point, like, when, yeah.
The old chair storage.
Yes, yeah. And we do have to fix it, because otherwise we are in breach of our contract.
That's why I never understood
So there's that. I guess to balance it out a little bit, REC was approved for 21,000 in funding for the elders bus trip from New Horizons for the seniors program. So good news there. And then we also got some cost recovery of 4,500 from the Rugged Apprentice program to last year to cover the cost of registry. It's positive news. Yeah. That is it's my report.
Thank you.
And then I know about that elevator. The elevator, if it drops 1 inch below floor, they'll shut that elevator down and you have to jump it to get back up. Otherwise, it won't work. So they shouldn't be storing things in there. And every couple of days, they should make sure they move it up. Because if it settles too far, it'll decommission itself.
Okay.
You have to put a wire in there. And I don't even know if I could remember how to do it to make it jump that 2 inches.
Okay.
So, yeah. That's one thing about the old elevator. The old elevator.
Yes.
If that helps anything.
Maybe these repairs are actually to fix that problem. Huh?
Yeah. No, that's something that elevator will do. There's no way to stop that. You know, it just does it. It settles. It's some kind of safety thing, they say, from it not being used. So it should always be used.
I'll raise it with Chanel tomorrow because we're in the early mornings.
Any questions from Link? Thank you, Blake.
I forgot one thing. I did attend the rec board meeting.
Okay.
But everything they brought to me was so much, I told them to come forward to Blake personally, so it wouldn't be secondhand news, and I thank you, Blake, for taking that on.
No problem. That's how it works.
Well, you know how it is, secondhand.
Good team. All right. Association of Yukon Community member, Councillor Wheeler.
There is the board meeting on March 7th via Zoom. All day Zoom meeting.
Yay. March 7th.
Yeah.
AYC board
meeting. AYC board meeting.
Mark it down.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully Lauren talks quickly.
Any resolutions? Resolution committee. No resolutions.
There's probably some. We have a meeting on the
20th. When's the deadline for the resolutions? It's like
March 17th.
Oh, at the March 17th.
That's a guess. I don't
know. Yeah, it's
March. You still have time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. A little bit.
All right.
Either the 13th or the 17th. Yeah, so one of those days.
Yes. So this meeting that you guys are talking about, the Zoom meeting, do we all have to
be there?
If you want to.
If you want to.
If you want to Zoom on March 7th,
yes,
you can come here. We can have the computer and the TV set up. No problem.
This is Saturday.
Get the coat or whatever.
Okay.
Let me know. I'll come down if you want to do that. I'll come down here.
Oh, I'll probably be busy.
Okay.
I'm with my granddaughter. I want to spend time.
The option is there. If you need to come down, even if it's a Saturday, I'll be here if you want to zoom in from here. If you don't have the ability to zoom in. All right. New and unfinished business, 8.1 VOC strategic planning session, seeking confirmation of interest of availability for.
What about the bylaw?
Oh, sorry.
Bylaw.
Thank you. Bylaws. 7.1, Civic Addressing Bylaw 301-24, addition of new addresses. This We'll need a motion.
Do you think you got them up there?
That council approved the civic addressing assignment up for the following properties as assigned by the chief administrative officer in accordance with section 3 of the Village Carmack Civic Addressing Bylaw 301-24. And that the approved civic addressing shall take effect immediately upon passage of this resolution and be added to the village's official civic addressing listing and circulated to emergency services.
Where are these lots?
The lots are right here, parcel number 1, ID number, and then it says lot 1130.
I think the part that's important to us would be the part underneath.
Yeah, Campbell Highway.
Can you bring it down a little bit?
58240.
Oh, assigned civic address.
Assigned civic address. And so then that's a new one.
Yeah. And where is this?
It's on the Campbell Highway.
Kilometer 582.4.
It just
okay, says in relationship to anybody.
Probably past Lorraine's.
Yeah. You'll see that there's a new driveway and culvert that they would have applied to have, so that's what they're looking for. You wouldn't know where it is because they know they need the address.
Yeah. And then the other that big lot on Prospector that got cleared. So that's
is that the only new there's new ones downtown core here.
Yeah, Prospector. They're all Prospector.
So do you have to do each separate one or are you doing it all together?
All together.
Okay.
I will make a motion to approve the civic address assignments on this document because I'm not ready.
Bylaw 301-24.
Yes, bylaw 301-24.
Keep going. How many are there?
Nine.
So the motion is to accept
nine.
The nine.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? There's no discussion if I don't see any. All in favor? That passes. Thank you.
Sorry, who did the first motion?
Me.
I'll second it.
Right.
Yes. Congratulations to the new addressed lots. That's movement forward to a building. Mm-hmm. All right. Now we're on new and unfinished business. VOC strategic planning session seeking confirmation of interest of availability. Mr. Blake.
Yeah, so this is a conversation that Jordan started with before, like late 2025, about having a strategic planning session for mayor and council to talk about vision forward, taking like the OCP in terms of where things are at, where you want to go with priorities. So Jordan just kind of wanted to circle back to see and check in on if interest is still there and about potential timing. So he's suggesting maybe sometime in March, but he said we'll be up to council in terms of if it's something that you still want to do and you're available, it might be.
Councils?
How long do you think that we need to?
A day.
A day? So you need to be on the week?
He says, like, I think he said it longer than that.
He said one day for the. Yeah. There's some training he wants to do as well as the strategic plan. So 2 days would be good, like a weekend thing.
It's beneficial to have the 2 days. Did you have a recommended date for?
I honestly, I don't know if March break is a factor for us all. So I'm sure when that flux. So I don't.
The school March break?
Yeah. It's from March 5th and 5th, 6th, and the whole next week after that.
Okay. So probably later in March, you probably
mean? That's totally up to council.
Where are you gone?
I'm not gone. No.
Oh.
I'll be here. Not going anywhere.
Yeah.
If you make the date, I'll be here.
Except
Well, March 7th is out.
Yeah.
So the 14th could be out because of March break. How about the 21st, 22nd?
I have a Mara on the 21st. But I could probably just throw her in the hallway with my pad.
You can do it in April. Well, I mean,
yeah, we're not. You have a what?
I'll probably have Amara. I've got her for a week.
Oh, you said a name. I thought you were doing something.
Yeah, Prince, go ahead.
Put it on the council meeting days, like few hours.
You want to do a few hours at a time?
Then good.
And he's going to do it via Zoom?
It'd be better to have it
in person
a couple of days. But thank you, Prince, for the thought.
Yeah.
Maybe he could do the beginning of it. Zoom?
Yeah. I mean, you could do like potentially make a part of it, like the training, maybe potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, I could float that by.
Sure. Yeah, maybe ask him that and then.
Yeah.
Do a doodle poll for dates and times.
Yeah. Would that be good?
Yeah.
Do a doodle poll?
Yeah. And we're good with doing the polls. So you just let us know. We'll let you know.
Just do whatever and I'm available.
Doodle poll. So it's like that has available dates and times. And you say,
The interest is there. The dates, I guess, would be possibly late March, early April.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to let it go too long.
I'll follow up there.
I am also away. April 15th until, I'll be in Watson Lake the weekend of the AGM. I won't be back until
then. Really?
Yeah.
We should try and get it done before the AGM.
Okay.
What are the dates for Mother's Day weekend, right?
There were changes.
There were changes.
All right, moving forward here.
September.
September's true time.
8.2 Scotiabank Investing Update and Recommendations. Annette.
Okay. Yes. Sorry, I forgot to put the percentage in, but it changes every day. So this is what we talked about when you talked about with Deepak.
Yeah.
When you came back. So he, I don't know if I can say it, he just went to go ahead and invest it. I was like, no. Right. So we have to talk to council first, but this is just for informational purposes. So he was saying that we are in good standing, so we should invest like the $1 million for two-year term, non-redeemable. But looking at our finances, and we have so many, hopefully not any more emergencies. So we kind of discussed like the $500,000 for two-year term and $100,000 for the 13 months term. I think it was 1.75% and the 100,000 would get 1.5%. But the 100,000, like the cashable, like after 30 days, we can get it like if needed. We have a big breakdown, so that's what we're suggesting. Like the 500,000 for 2 years. And 100,000 for the 13 months term, like non-redeemable, and 100,000. And we do have another 100,000 invested already for the next couple of years.
Does everybody follow along with what this is?
I hope it's. So we just wanted to let you know that you know that we do investments. And we get more interest on it. Yes.
So this is general coffers making something, not taking all of the money to what we use in a year or 2 years. There's money there that we can invest in order to supplement.
Yeah, some make some interest.
Yes. But we don't want to tie it all. This opportunity has been given to council from what Deepak has said for multiple years, but the Village of Carmex has never really entertained the idea of investing to this extent. But there's an opportunity with what we have here and how we spend money and how we've been utilizing the funds and taxpayers' dollars to work for them for what we need. So this would be helping us. So The question is the bottom half, the 2 year at the 500,000 non-redeemable locked in, then the 100,000 13-month term non-redeemable, then the 100,000 is the cashable for 30 days.
I think there also does need to be a motion if it's a big
amount.
Yeah, move or invest. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we accept administration's recommendation for long-term investment strategy.
Do we have a seconder?
One second.
Any other further discussion? Questions? All those in favor? Thank you. That passes. Thank you, Annette.
2 years in municipal terms, nothing. Because we'll still be talking about the lagoon, DMAF, the arena.
Well, how about this one? How about this one here? Replacement of public work vehicles, update and recommendations from Jens, the public works general manager.
And then there's
it's a call for you, but
I'm gonna defer to
finance
Prince.
Yeah. Okay,
it's more than my students.
So we discovered or found out last week that our oldest vehicle is going to have any major issues in the future. So they went down for an inspection, and to fix it down would cost us $7,500 just to fix like the main thing, like it's a front suspension, rods, needs new tires, the oil pan is leaking, gasket, what else was on it? Like transmission.
Things
like,
that we've already fixed in the
past. Yeah, we already fixed in the past. Yeah. So when it's repeating, so now I think.
Can you pull it up on the big screen, Prince, please?
Well, this is the newest we just got today. So we looked into options on Ford because we have so we went with Ford. Yeah. So Ford provided us once in the year.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that come through an email.
Yes.
Okay, so this is different from that.
And this one, yeah, we just got today. Like they went to town today, and this is from Driving Force. And they have. Oh, actually, I should explain. Ford actually doesn't lease, or they never had the option to lease vehicles. Or they never leased, like governments, they never leased from them. They would do financing through Ford, like through their dealership. And so what they would take, I don't know what they call it, liability or risk for us to do that.
Right.
But their monthly payments would be $1,600, like for a 2 year term, and I think it was $1,300 for a 3 year term. And financing was around, I think, the same like this for $900 for 7 years. So, and then we looked, or Public Works looked into Driving Force, like a different partnership today. And they came back with better options. Like this is used vehicles, but the like there's a lease to own over 5 years. And then there's a lease with residual. So where we have to give the vehicles back after 5 years, which I don't think is an option, like looking at the vehicles, like inside and all the stuff, but because it says we have to pay for the damage, or financing over 7 years. But I think what we kind of look financially, the first option would be the best, like one vehicle. They don't want it. They just look for two vehicles, like what would be the difference?
So
we just need, I know we didn't put it in the budget, but we have another coming up. I think the other one is maybe, hopefully not the bylaw vehicle. It's 2014, so it's 12 years old. It's well used, hopefully next year. So we don't want to push like two vehicles in 1 year or something. We want to gradually, cost of $450, and already it's $900 repair. They drive it until it's done.
We're already committed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a question. I read the quotes of the Ford or whatever that looked like for those vehicles. It said something about plow and all these attachments and options and a flat deck or whatever. Like, is this still Are you still inquiring about those types of things on these vehicles or no?
No, that's what they said. They said they will drive the 450 with a plow until it's kind of breaking down, and then maybe in a couple of years, hopefully a couple of years, 3 years, we can maybe look for other options. More suitable, because the plow, I think it's, I don't know what you call it, strained. And I think they actually wanted
the Beanos.
Yeah.
Okay.
So quick question. If we were to lease and these from Driving Force, would those plows be able to be put on those vehicles?
I think they haven't asked yet, but we can find out tomorrow.
The question is, leased vehicle, are we allowed to put
I don't see why we'd want to buy. Why we could, we're getting rid of secondhand and buying secondhand. I don't like that.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me at all.
Yeah, but you're also looking at double the price.
Yeah,
but then you're looking at half the time anyway, so you're going to end up in the same
different
spot.
2 years. I can kick you in the shins.
Have you ever bought a used vehicle?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know if it lasts today, tomorrow, or you don't know when it lasts.
Yeah.
Okay, so the question at hand here from the counselors is, is a brand new vehicle and the cost that you're paying to lease it, if they do that, putting the attachments on the vehicle, if it'll be insured or covered under that lease agreement. And then the secondary part is you're going to lease a used vehicle for 2 years, then you get another one?
No, this would be over 5 years.
You own it.
After 5 years, we own it.
So they're not new though.
It's like 24, and the GMC has 21,000 kilometers.
So you're not leasing it; you're buying
look,
it.
Look at the van. We bought a recreation van. It was a great deal, and I think the thing lasted 2 years. We got a great deal on a secondhand vehicle. Ran like a top. 2 years, couldn't even sell it.
You got me.
Do you mean the bus?
Nope. And there's a
real, can I chime in here, Blake?
There's one I
don't know. It's a dangerous one to chime in on. I mean, I'll be straight up, like personally, I'm probably going to be in this boat in a few months too, like trying to figure out leasing, financing, all that stuff. And it is like six and one half a dozen the other. It's like, I think my feeling is like, I know that Annette and Prince and Jen have spent a lot of time on this, and they've really kind of like, and hats off to really kind of doing the homework on it. I don't know. It's not going to be all pros or all cons on any of these. I think that there are different options, but I think just given what we're looking at from a budgetary point of view, like I would trust what Annette and Prince are saying in terms of just what we can do. If it is lightly used and it's got and it's only 2 years old, it's like, I guess it's just the cost variance between what we're looking at here versus what we'd be looking at with Ford. The other thing with Ford is that even though it would be great to have a brand new vehicle off the lot, from what the general manager told me when I spoke with her, there isn't a government that they deal with that leases from them. So it's all like YG, every municipality, First Nation governments, they all buy flat out. And that's the only, she said that she might be able to do something for us with an it's called an in-house lease. And it would mean that they would take the risk for us and give us kind of like a preferred rate, but it still wouldn't be as good as this. So it would be, but you know, so I don't know if I really answered the question or if like, but I don't know.
So what does this 18,000 kilometers,
you can't drive it more than that?
Oh, this is if
you lease it, you can't drive it more than that.
Yeah, you can.
So 9 months come up and we've put 18,000 on it, it has to be parked.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, or pay you through the nose for mileage.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to talk out here that we have money to throw away. This van only had 75,000 kilometers on it. This thing was an awesome thing, but for some reason it died. And
okay, let me I think based off of the tools that we have here to utilize our asset management, what our finance is saying that we have that we can spend. If it's one vehicle this year, we buy it out, because it sounds to me like we keep chasing this thing of a vehicle turnover. But I think with our tool of our asset management, we rely on that tool to purchase these vehicles, and that's what we have in. I think that's what we go with. That's the numbers we have. That's what works for us right now, because it's having a problem transferring over into a lease or what these things are, right? So I think that if our budget allows us to purchase one vehicle for this fiscal, then I'm in favor of that, and I can ask.
So we're looking at roughly $84,000 for a brand new one?
Yes, yes. And on the 84,000 from Ford, that's a plow we would have been allowed to put on.
I do have another comment on that.
Yeah.
Based off our assets and how they're lined item as like a working vehicle and just a mobilization vehicle, I think there needs to be a deferred line there that says, hey, these vehicles on this asset management plan are ones that are working, the plows, the sanders, like those should be in a different category than what we're looking at here, because that's that we don't want to put a plow on everything. We want those to be separate, right?
Specifically,
so,
yes.
Yeah.
And is there a reason why we go to Ford?
Because they give a discount.
Yes.
I do remember one year we got every dealership gave pretty much a quote for almost the same vehicle, just one was Dodge, one was, and Ford was the only one that gave a discount. And it's like $11,000 or something.
And there's no chance of asking the other dealerships? Like,
they said no.
It was asked.
Yeah, they said
no.
Yeah.
Okay.
At that time, is it worth it? It's worth it to check it again? I don't know. I don't want to make a bunch of work for everybody.
Sounds like they have done some light work here.
Yes.
Is there any lower?
So if you say you were okay with buying a vehicle right away, would you prefer like a brand new one, like the 80,000, or
what I would recommend?
That's a question.
The question that.
Yeah.
The answer to your question, I recommend, based off of the finances on the budget line that we have allocated for purchasing a vehicle, is what I would say that I'm okay with.
Actually, we don't have anything allocated because we thought, oh, they'd last maybe another couple of years, but
into a new year now.
I was misunderstanding. I thought we allocated money for
No, not for a vehicle. Oh, I think when we discussed the council, kind of said, oh, maybe let's wait another year, but things happen, right?
But
financially, we could afford, I would suggest, I know we said, like, new vehicle versus a used one, but the new one can have the same problems, you never know, but it's warranty. It's different, right? Yeah, so
it's only warranty for what you're using it for. That's my question. Is it a utility put on equipment vehicle?
No.
Or is it just a passenger?
It's a passenger, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a difference there. Yes.
So does that mean that if we do put a plow on it and something goes wrong due to the fact that
what I'm saying is if you were going to purchase a vehicle, a used vehicle for plowing, I would be okay with that. But you're not purchasing a brand new vehicle to put a plow on when you have other vehicles that are specific to that job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. And if the recommendations are that the finances are there to purchase a vehicle for a passenger vehicle, I'd like to see what those options are, if it's not within these options.
Okay.
As like a used vehicle, what is the line item of the price that we are financing or able to spend against our budget? Because that's a deficit to what we've already approved. Right.
You guys,
that's preliminary budget. The
provisional
budget. This would be capital budget, costs more than $20,000, $25,000.
Then there's no funding for rolling stock or anything.
There's no funding. So we looked into it last year. So I think for public works, looking at the cost for a brand new vehicle and all stuff, I think they would be fine, like doing the first vehicle, even if you pay buy it out right away. So it would be used GST a little bit over 50,000, I think they said, and they promised to take better care of it. But I know it has like driven from so many employees, right? So it's hard to keep track of.
There's a timeline of next council meeting sufficient of that's enough time for them to get a little bit more maybe details, numbers, your budget line or what that looks like, the deficit. That's what I would suggest.
Yeah.
Okay.
And can I just, so that's, it
Yeah.
doesn't have to do anything with this. I just remember Michael Sam called this afternoon. He got this occupancy permit
Oh, wow.
and he has invited Kobe Council too, but he will let us know on Thursday to come over to his house, see his house, and he will do sandwiches and all the stuff. And he was so happy too. So and I told him once we get a permit, it's like about like development money payment and all the stuff. So he said he welcomes everybody that wants to
Oh,
come
God,
on
an open house for Michael
on Thursday.
for this Thursday. Yes. Let me
Wonderful.
guess, bring your own beer. No,
What time?
he'll call me like when he's back from, I think, the White House right now, but he was really excited.
Oh, congratulations,
Yes,
Michael.
excellent.
Come on,
The first one.
thank you for that.
Some of the garage.
Yes.
Okay, we'll move forward here. This is 8.4 joint council meeting. Just the confirmation of when the date will be.
We've got two dates for you that Ellie gave me for options. They said that either March 4th or March 11th would probably be work best for them because they're not they're getting corrected in fiscal year end. And so
Let's do it right away. If I'm favor of the 4th, anybody else favor of the 4th or the 11th?
The 11th, because I have a meeting on the 2nd and then I got a council meeting on the 3rd. And I prefer to not have three meetings in a row.
Anybody else?
It doesn't matter to me. I'm fine either way. Spread.
You'll let us do so.
March 11th. All right.
And who's hosting?
We are
We
hosting.
are hosting.
What would you guys like to eat?
Steak.
So Dan, it was merely the John's barbecue.
I could eat steak every day.
Steak or chicken? Don't matter.
Some steak.
What time is this meeting going to be?
Usually around
5:30.
5:30, yeah, 5:30. Did she say?
Didn't say time.
Okay.
Five.
They prefer five.
6:35,
Five thirty is much better.
5:30?
I think so. Some of us work right until
Well,
five.
because they yeah they get off yeah.
Because they get off at 4:30 over there.
Okay.
That's you. That's you.
Some of us.
March 11th.
July.
Joint council meeting. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Tama FCM conferences confirmation of per participation.
Participants, and
That's
this is in
getting long.
Edmonton this year, I believe. Isn't it?
Yes.
Except Kama is in Whistler or something like
Whistler.
Yeah, so this is yeah, so I was
this is all new to you, Blake.
it really is, but so I was basically I just wanted to kind of confirm that these two events are good for you guys, that we do have budget line items for them for travel for the year. And I was saying these are two of the biggest events that we go to. I've heard a lot of good things about CAMA, like from CAOs. There's been a lot
I
of
mean,
talks there.
Whistler, Banff, holy, all these
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say.
royalty places, they treat the CAO to comfort.
Hey,
Just one of
I just go where you guys send me.
these. Perhaps Emma, usually it's beside them.
Yeah, so I guess there's two questions here. Is this like is this these two events still things that the council wants us to
Yeah,
proceed
well,
with?
we can discuss that right now. Do you want to start it off there, Alger?
I'd like to go.
You'd like to go to Edmonton?
Yes.
Anybody else?
I will back out and I'll go next year. I get first dibs on next year.
Dennis?
Not interested.
Councillor Hanson?
No, thank you.
Just one. Just one councillor.
No, I can't. Unless I pack my dog.
I could possibly go. You don't want to go, Dennis?
I can't. I would love to go. Trust me, I would love to go.
You should go.
I just at home in Pat's there, right? So that's why I want to go to Edmonton. Well, I'm away for a long time and then Watson Lake.
Okay.
So for
the cruising there,
review then we set up this set up travel.
Hey, partner.
I can confirm that with you, but for Helena, yes.
Okay. All right. And then Quinn Camus, good.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for you.
May 25th.
Can I make a suggestion? We send Prince to Kama as well as training and networking, and thanks for all his hard work if he would like to know.
I think that's a great idea. There's
he might not come back.
So you have to promise you're not going to job search.
I think that's a great idea. If you're really on board,
okay.
Yeah.
Pick up.
All right.
Always.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So
good teammate.
Yeah.
You know how when you lend something, they go, he's got to leave something behind so we know he comes back. Yeah.
That's my father. Leave his car and his brother.
Okay.
I do remember going on one of the events in the evening, a meet and greet with Corey. He's like, don't tell anyone you're on council. You're the enemy here. She really scared me. It wasn't true, but yeah. I was nervous.
Well, Corey used to be on the board for that too.
Yeah, she was the president.
Was she?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We're going into it's
working way out.
Yeah, exactly.
You got big shoes to fill.
Yeah. Right.
I think one of our past CAOs, Tracy, is also on the PAMA board right now.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. Tracy Thomas.
Actually,
Lethbridge.
All right. There's the amendment 8.6 Minister of Community Services meeting.
Yes. Yeah. So I was told today that the meeting needs to be postponed due to scheduling. So they are, but unfortunately, they're running up against the start of session, which is mid-March, and doesn't look like it looks like every week is full up until then. So what I was going to, so anyway, they were planning to looking at probably end of session, which would be like April, May, which is still some time.
What are we getting before the sessions?
So what I was going to propose is like, see if you guys be open to this, is maybe doing kind of an interim meeting, whether like remotely, having her Zoom in so that you can have some FaceTime with her. Because I think that's the only way that she'd be able to do it with the schedule and stuff right now. But it would give an opportunity for some back and forth before session. Okay. And then there would be like after session, we'd have the in-person. So I just want to see if that's something I could go back on with.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
There was some Minister Canada's going to come with her. Would she be in on the Zoom as well, or we would just have Minister Belmore?
It's totally up to you. Like I could go back to them with whatever you'd like to, with whatever you'd like.
I think both.
Ken's a pretty good.
Because he's the Minister of Housing.
Yeah, and we have lots of things right now.
Yeah, maybe we could have them separately.
We could.
I'd say if they're doing Zoom, they could do two for the price, like, yeah, two for the price of one. Yeah. Hour. So yeah, I'm sure we could probably figure something like that. It's a lot easier to get them.
Also, if it's postponed on February 25th, there's an anti-bullying community dinner hosted by LCFN.
Yeah.
Pink Shirt Day, and there is a dinner.
They sent you that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it
on the
25th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, I'll go back to
that. I'll take this one.
We're looking at question period here. Anybody from the gallery have a question at large? Not seeing any. I see it in camera. Three items for discussion.
Make a motion that we begin the in-camera session at 8:43.
Good night.
Good night, Annette.
Alrighty.